Hello, my name is Lisa Sullivan. I've been listening to these podcasts for a while and decided I might want to try to do one. I was trying to think of things that I might know something about, and I realized that I have been attending college online for about a year now, and I thought maybe some of you would like to know how that works. Give you a little background first. I'm recording this on Gold Wave with my new USB LabTech headset microphone, which I don't really like the sound of, but it seems to be the most convenient way. I've already recorded this once, and for some reason it quit recording after a couple minutes. I've changed a few settings, and I'm hoping for better results this time. Okay. I am little background on myself. I am 36 years old now. Graduated from high school when I was 17. Hated school. Could not force myself to go to college even though I knew I should. Throughout the years, I've been keeping up kind of on what's available online for colleges, and I've always told myself that if and when a college degree that's obtained from an online college becomes just about as reputable as one that's obtained from a regular college, then I have no further excuse, and I have to go. So, after researching and following it for a few years, it's gotten to a point now where a lot of companies have no problem hiring people with online degrees. In choosing where to go for my online degree, I chose Baker College Online for a couple of reasons. First of all, here in Michigan where I live, we have a few Baker Colleges, kind of a chain here. And in my county, we happen to have a branch of Baker College. When I called them and told them I was thinking about doing this, they said that although their courses aren't really directly affiliated with the online Baker College, that I could come in if I needed help into their resource center and get some assistance. So far I haven't needed to, but that was kind of a big factor in choosing Baker College because I was not sure how hard it was going to be and how I was going to do. The other factor in my decision was when I read that when you get a degree from Baker College, as from other colleges that have both physical campuses and online campuses, the degree doesn't specify that you got the you took online classes to get it. It just says graduated from Baker College. I kind of liked that because if somebody was skeptical of online learning, they don't even need to know that's how I got it. If they're really into that, I'll tell them. If not, maybe I won't. Okay. As I had said, I graduated high school when I was 17, hated school. I'm sure a lot of you guys are familiar with all the pain it was to go to school. I don't know, anybody that's my age will especially know because computers were just starting to become popular, and this is like around 87, and there wasn't anything accessible. So I ended up spending a lot of time either not being able to do the schoolwork at all, having somebody read it to me. In one case, I'd have math handouts that somebody would have to read to me. I'd have to braille them. I'd have to work them out in braille. I'd have to type the answers and then turn that in. So it was like five times as much work. And I'm not very good at math anyways. Needless to say, I did not like school. So, fast forward here. Let's see, where am I? Okay, first of all, in order to go to college here, at least since I am visually impaired, the Commission for the Blind in Michigan here will pay for any tuition and books which aren't covered by Pell Grants or any other kind of assistance I may get. In order to see if you qualify for a Pell Grant, you have to fill out what they call the FAFSA, F-A-F-S-A form. I don't remember what that stands for. Financial aid something. Anyway, the good news is you can do that entirely online. You fill it out, you check on the status, you see how, you know, if you qualify. The website for that is www.f as in Frank, A, F as in Frank, S as in Sam, A, .ed.gov. That's where you go to learn about the financial aid form to see if you're eligible. Once you fill that out and get the confirmation on that, you can get the Commission for the Blind to help you pay for other expenses. And you have to reapply for the Pell Grant every year that you want to attend college after January 1st each year. Okay. In order to take online classes, you really need a few things. You need to have a computer, obviously, with internet access that's fairly reliable. It doesn't really have to be high speed. I've only run into one class that had videos to watch, and those weren't really necessary, and the entire text of the video was covered in the textbook. It's pretty well integrated as far as texts going along with online material. And I believe you can watch those videos with a dial-up connection anyway. You have to have a screen reader that you're pretty familiar with. You have to be pretty good on the computer before you try this, and pretty adept at using the internet. As in anything you do on the internet, if you do it for very long at all, you figure out that there are a few things that you have to explore with your mouse keys and other things sometimes, although I haven't really had any trouble with the online courses. You also, at least for Baker College, and I think for many of them, need a copy of Microsoft Office, which is fairly expensive. They require Office 2003. I found a copy for myself, but I would ask the commission. I assume that they will probably help you get that, as it's essential to going to taking the classes. The next thing you'll want to be familiar with is Acrobat Reader, because often you can get some of your books in PDF format, which these files are read using Acrobat Reader. It's electronic format, which I can talk about more in a minute. You also should have a scanner and some kind of accessible OCR scanning software. Because if you can't get your books in any other format, you will have to scan them in page by page. This is a huge pain, but it can be done, and it does have some benefits, namely that once you have the book scanned in, I usually save mine in Notepad, any information you're looking for, you can just do a search for the word or phrase that you're looking for, and it finds it right, you know, right now, so you don't have to. It's far better than recorded audio, where the best you can do is move from one page to another and hope that you know what page number something is on. I really am not a big fan of recorded books, although they do have their place. As far as books go, as I said, I prefer electronic books for almost all my courses because, as I said, you can do a search for a word or phrase on the computer and find it. If many of the publishers now of college textbooks are starting to offer some of their books for everyone in digital format, because a lot of people prefer to read their school books on their Palm Pilot or laptop or PDA, whatever. So this usually helps us. There is one of the publishing companies, I can't remember, I think it's McGraw-Hill, that has a proprietary reader for their school books called Xenio Reader, which is totally inaccessible. I've written them an email, and they didn't really seem too interested. They knew it wasn't accessible. They didn't seem to be excited to fix it. That was just my impression. However, the publishers also will often make electronic books available on request. But, as a student, you are not allowed to request them. Someone from the college, some kind of special needs coordinator or something, needs to contact the publisher, tell them that you are a student with a disability who needs the book in a special format, and then they can send you the book in, usually those are in Microsoft Word DOC format. And that works pretty well. Sometimes they're PDFs. Where was I? The one exception to those books in electronic format is math books. I really have found there's no other way to do a math book except in audio format, or else to have someone to read it to you. If you try to scan a math book in, some of you guys probably know this, it's going to get the numbers wrong, and you'll never understand the placement of everything. In fact, I have postponed one of my classes because Recordings for the Blind and Dyslexic has my math book in pre-production, but it's not ready yet. I highly recommend getting a subscription to Recordings for the Blind. Michigan Commission for the Blind purchased my initial subscription, and I have to pay for the registration fees every year. But they often have a lot of college textbooks already recorded, which, like I said, except for math, is not my preferred method. But it is a good supplement, and I prefer to get my books in as many formats as possible. Just for me, sometimes I use an Opticon to get the layout of something. That's why sometimes it's good to have a print copy of the book, which the commission did pay for all my print books. When I took math classes, even though I had the audio, sometimes the instructions just didn't really make sense until I took the Opticon, which, if you guys aren't familiar with the Opticon, it's really old technology, but it has a little camera. You run it across the print. It picks up like half of a letter at a time, which is really slow, but it takes the picture of that letter and sends it to this array of 144 little pins, which are activated by the contrast, so anything that's dark on the page, for example, will make pins raise up in the shape of what it sees. This helps because you can run the Opticon across what you're trying to, and you can read letters with it, but that's really slow. But like I said, often when I need to get an idea of what a math symbol or problem looks like, or if there's a table and it's either not described in the audio or I don't have the audio, I will use the Opticon for that. I don't use it very much, but when I do need it, it's kind of irreplaceable. There's nothing else that will do what it does. If you don't have one, it's not a big deal. I've only needed it a couple times, and you can get some buddy who's sighted to help you in describing things. I try not to ask for help any more than I have to. That way I don't feel like I'm bothering people, and they know when I do ask them I really need it. Okay. Let's see. As far as the courses go, at Baker College, and I think at a lot of the other online colleges, the courses are offered, most of them, in 6-week time periods. It takes 6 weeks to complete a course. Some of them you can take a slower 12-week period, one that takes, you know, twice as long, but I haven't done that. In order to qualify for Pell Grants, and I think in order to be covered by the Commission for the Blind, you need to take at least, I think it's called 3/4 time classes, I don't know, but anyway, you need to go pretty much full time. Through Baker College, full time is considered 3 courses. The nice thing about that is since their courses are only 6 weeks long, there are 2 6-week periods in a quarter. So, you can take, for one of your 6-week periods, like this time I'm only taking 1 course. In the next 6 weeks, so when this course is over, I'll take 2 more. That way, if you have a really difficult course, you can make it so that it's your only course. In this case, I was going to take another math course, but my book wasn't ready, so I dropped it, and I still don't have to worry about being under my limit and not getting my financial aid. The two primary formats that online colleges use to present all their material and courses are called Blackboard and CCT. This is just a way that they present all their stuff on the webpage. From what I understand, they're both pretty accessible. I have not used CCT. Baker College uses the Blackboard format. I have had almost no trouble with Blackboard. I haven't had to do any special tricks with the screen reader or anything, really. I use WindowEyes. With Blackboard, or with Baker College, I should say, most of your classes are conducted through message boards. Some of you might be familiar with that. Anytime you have an online message board where someone types a message, goes online, submits it, then you respond to it, and you can read all through. In fact, if you've gone to the websites where you can read email lists online, that's kind of the same format. So, you are required to turn in assignments, you know, on deadlines, just as in school. You also are required to, most classes, they want you to post two substantive messages each day for at least 5 out of the 7 days in the week. What that means is that you can't really just agree with somebody and say, yes, I agree, me too. That's not a good enough message to really count toward a grade. There's also a lot of reading. Typically, you have to read about 3 chapters a week. Some of the instructors actually suggest that you just skim the material. Don't try to read it all. I generally do try to read it all, but there are times when I just can't. That's where electronic books help a lot, because if you have a question that you need to answer, most classes have questions for each week that you have to answer based on the text. You can easily search for a phrase in an electronic book, find where it's referenced, and then form your answer from the information there. It's really nice. I think it's pretty equivalent to being able to use an index in a book or skim a book for the information you need. Kind of puts us on a pretty even playing field there. Okay, there are also, a lot of the classes require you to write term papers and do research, just like regular college. The good part about that is everybody online primarily uses the internet for their research. You can find a lot of things. There's a website called findarticles.com that has a lot of articles from current publications that you can access and find a lot of information in. Baker College has an electronic library of different sources you can search that you have access to. A lot of times I fall back on old Google because I'm used to it and I'm comfortable with it. The electronic library from Baker is a little bit overwhelming because there are too many choices and I don't really know where to search. There are also group projects at Baker College sometimes. I've only had a couple. This is basically where you have a separate message board for your group, and you decide who's going to do which part of the paper or whatever you happen to be doing, and then you'll upload a message, you know, type a message, attach your version of the paper, other people attach theirs, whoever's responsible for putting together the final product will, you know, go from there, submit that to the message board. It's just really, it's not too hard. I thought it would be a lot worse than it was. When you start Baker College, you start by taking a 3-week introductory program, which really helped me a lot. That's where I did my first group project. You write papers, you do research, you post on the message boards, you go to the links on the webpage, which are like assignments. For each week will be posted on the webpage. Course documents, which will be usually a kind of summary of what you're going over that week, will be posted. And it's just really pretty accessible. I haven't had any trouble. One of the stranger courses I've had to take was the Art of Public Speaking. We had to set up a web camera and record ourselves giving a speech. This was really a pain. Luckily, my instructor thought I did better than I did because I hated it. But, be that as it may, it was really better than standing up in front of a whole class, because at least they weren't there at the time. I didn't have to know when they were watching me. For me, that helped. I think that's about all I was going to cover. I'm hoping that this podcast recorded this time, or else I'm talking for nothing again. I really did better the first time. I wish that one would have worked, but anyway. If you guys have any questions, I can give you my email address. It is xenacat3@hotmail.com. That's X, E, N as in Nancy, A, C, A, T, 3, at hotmail.com. HOTMAIL.com. Okay, let me know if you guys have any other questions I can help you out with. I'm sure I probably forgot some things, but thanks for putting up with this.